Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We've heard much about vaccines produced unethically and the dilemma this creates for Americans. The pharmaceutical companies that seem more interested in money than doing what's right and producing vaccines that do not use aborted fetal cell lines. Americans seeking a shingles vaccine are now near the point where they have an ethical alternative. My guest today is Debbie Vintage. She's the executive director of Largo, Florida-based Children of God for Life. Thanks, Debbie, for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show.
What's the mission of Children of God for Life?
Well, we were formed in 1999 as a organization that was really wanted to educate the public on embryonic stem cell research, adult stem cell research, and the benefits, you know, of adult stem cells. And then aborted fetal research became integral when we found out, obviously, about these vaccines.
And comparing the adult stem cells with the embryonic stem cells, you were talking about the cures, because I know they're looking at, many researchers are looking at embryonic stem cells as the answer to the cure for so many diseases. Has there been any success stories along those lines, using those lines in particular?
Actually, embryonic stem cells have failed miserably. And so what's happened is researchers have turned their focus toward adult stem cells actually now, and there are several cures that have been, you know, documented using moral cell lines. And so it's a great thing. They don't have to use aborted fetal, and they're realizing this. And even some of those that were big proponents of embryonic stem cell research have just seen no success.
Wow, that's very good. That's very good. So adult stem cells, I don't know what the number is, but compare a zero when it comes to the embryonic stem cell for cure. For curing diseases, they get as big as zero.
Yep, that's right. There's been thousands of patients have been helped. In fact, there's over 70 different diseases that they have successfully used a patient's own stem cells.
Wow, over 70.
Yep.
It's
wonderful.
That's for sure. It's amazing how God designed our bodies.
That's right. He gave us great immune systems.
Yes.
He gave us, I honestly believe we'll find everything we need right in our own human body
someday. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's neat. But they're still using, and I don't fully understand how this works, but they're still using embryonic stem cell lines in the production of vaccines.
Well, it's not really an embryonic stem
okay.
cell line. And that's, a lot of people get confused on that, Diane. These are aborted fetal cell lines. These were cells that were developed from abortion. And when we talk about embryonic, we're talking about from conception through 8 weeks development. These are all from the fetal stage beyond that. And they came from elective abortions. And what scientists do is they have a virus, right, and they need to, let's say they're going to create a chickenpox vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Then what they do is they take that virus and they have to cultivate it in order for it to grow so they can produce several thousand doses of vaccine. And they can cultivate it on a number of moral cell lines. There are, you know, just tons and tons of FDA-approved cell lines that are using animal cells or plant cells, insect cells. I mean, there's so many different options that they have. But in any case, so they grow them, and then once they have enough vaccine, then they'll go ahead and, you know, produce, like I said, several thousand doses.
Of vaccines. When we're looking at vaccines, what are the moral choices that a parent would have? You know, they have a newborn or a toddler, and, of course, there's a whole host of vaccines that they're supposed to get. And in some cases, I think New Jersey, I forget the number, but in some states they actually require these, I believe. Are there any ethical choices? I mean, what are the choices that parents have in
It really depends on the vaccine.
Okay.
So let's start with the newborn baby, which is a good one. When they go for their first set of round of shots, it's usually around 2 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommended vaccine, now it's recommended, it doesn't mean that's the only one, but there's a group within the Center for Disease Control, it's called the ACIP, and what they really are, they're the Academy for Immunization Practices, right, and they come up with what vaccines they think people should use. So they recommended one called Pentacell. Pentacell is a 5-in-1 vaccine, and it uses aborted fetal cell lines. It protects the baby for DTaP, for polio, and Hib, Hib vaccine. But if you were to get Pediarix, which is another 5-in-1, that vaccine does not use aborted fetal cell lines, and it also protects for, it's for DTaP, for polio, and hepatitis B. So, and depending on where you are and what state you are, some of the, you know, the pediatricians will say, well, you need both hepatitis B and Hib. So we've told, you know, doctors and we've told parents, just ask for Pediarix and get your Hib shot separately.
Separately, yeah.
Yeah, because if you got Pentacell, you'd have to get hepatitis B separately. So it makes no difference. You know?
Right, for sure.
Right.
Now, are there, say if a doctor just and I don't know how they do that. I don't know. I mean, I have five kids, but I just took them to the pediatrician. But do they store this vaccine? Like say that they just stored the Pentacell,
right,
and not the other. Could the pediatrician get the other vaccine, the ethical vaccine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. In fact, you could get DTaP all by itself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You could get polio all by itself, and they're fine. It's only that one vaccine. This is, of course, at 2 months of age.
Right.
It's the only vaccine. In fact, they won't have to worry about another one until the baby is 12 months of age. And then we come into some real problems because that's when they're going to require the MMR vaccine,
right,
which is measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox, both of which use aborted fetal cell lines, and there's no moral alternative. There is
both the MMR and the chickenpox use aborted fetal cells.
That's correct.
Wow.
And there's no moral option anywhere in the world for chickenpox right now. And there is a moral alternative for MMR in Japan, but you have to go to Japan to get the vaccine.
Wow.
You can't. The FDA will not allow import of that. We've tried to do that for several years with them, and they just won't allow it. So.
Why? I'm assuming that's the pharmaceuticals putting pressure on them not to.
Right.
Yeah.
That's part of it, that you are right. That is part of it. But the other is that, you know, it's not licensed in the U.S., and so they really don't want to worry about a vaccine that's coming in from another country that they don't really...
That's not like... Okay, well,
yeah.
I can understand that. But could someone start the process of getting it licensed here in the U.S.?
Yes. And I can tell you that we did that. We actually met with the FDA, and one of the chief scientists from the Kitasato Institute in Japan flew to the United States, and we went up to Bethesda and met with the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the Japanese had only separate doses. So you could get, and Merck used to have separate doses as well for measles and mumps.
Mm-hmm.
So what parents were doing was they were just foregoing rubella altogether and just getting measles and mumps.
So rubella is the problem.
Rubella's
okay.
The problem, exactly. And Japan has a moral rubella. So what we wanted to do, obviously, was just import that. Well, the FDA really told the Japanese what they would prefer was that they would have a combination of all three in one, so just like MMR.
Mm-hmm.
So combine all three together, and then we'll talk. Well, the Japanese have been working on that, and they have a measles-rubella combination already that's being used in Japan, and they give mumps separately. Their MMR is still in clinical trials. So we hope that, you know, once that's licensed, then we can talk to them again and see about getting it licensed.
Okay. Did you say that with chickenpox there is no moral alternative?
That's right.
Okay. No. Wow.
But we are very hopeful, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation here, GlaxoSmithKline, and we just did this press release, has come out with a moral shingles vaccine. It is in phase 3 clinical trials, and they're expecting to introduce this into the United States for approval by mid-2016. This is great news because not only will it give us the shingles vaccine, but for people, you know, that are out there and are concerned about the aborted fetal cell lines, but the chickenpox and the shingles vaccines that are out today that Merck makes are identical in composition. The only thing that's different is that the shingles vaccine is actually a stronger dose. So the possibility of having a moral chickenpox vaccine is very real.
So you're saying chickenpox and shingles vaccines are identical, except just the shingles is a stronger dose?
Yep, it's like
interesting.
Because it's given to adults. You know?
Right. Well, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So all GlaxoSmithKline would have to do is make a weaker dose, and they'd have a moral chickenpox vaccine in the U.S.
Wow.
So we're really hoping that's the direction they'll take. It's really wonderful news.
Oh yeah.
For parents and for the elderly who want that vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way they've done this from a technology standpoint. GlaxoSmithKline has actually taken the virus, the chickenpox virus, and cultivated it on yeast cells, which is great. We have no one has problems with yeast. And then to stimulate your immune system, they're using, it's really interesting, it's a thing called saponin. Saponin is actually a chemical that's found in the bark of a tree.
The bark of a tree? Wow.
Yep. And they've added this, it's called an adjuvant, and what it does is it stimulates your immune system to respond. So the vaccine is a lot more effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing in clinical trials a 97% effective rate compared to Merck's, which is about 50%.
That's a big difference.
It's huge.
Because I've known people this year who got the vaccination, and the shingles vaccination, and they got the shingles.
Sure. Wow. Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, and depending, they said in the, on your age group, I guess, you know, that it's Merck's Zostavax, which is the name of their shingles
mm-hmm.
vaccine. It was about 38% effective in anybody that was older than 70 years old.
38%, wow.
38%,
that's
which
not
is
real good.
Really bad, no.
Wow.
About 64% for people ages 60 to 69. But when you compare that to what's happening with Glaxo's, theirs is so much higher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And where did Merck, Merck's shingles vaccination is from an embryonic stem cell line. Where did they get that embryonic stem cell line?
Well, actually, it's not embryonic. Again, it's an
fetal. Okay. I keep getting this
okay.
to myself. Okay.
That's all right. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to be doing a talk tomorrow night at our parish on this because people have I get them so confused, and they've asked me to please come in and talk, so I'm going to.
Okay.
But what they did is they took the lung tissue from a 14-week gestation baby. It was a male boy that was aborted in the United Kingdom. According to the abortionist, the abortion was done for psychiatric reasons, you know, the health of the mother. It was the mental health of the mother for the reason listed for the abortion. And they.
How about the health of the baby?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. But they did, they grew this cell line, and once it, you know, they tried several. I mean, when we have another one that's called WI38, which, to give you an example, there was came from the Wistar Institute. It's specimen number 38, and it's used in rubella. Okay, before they perfected the rubella vaccine, there were over 80 abortions involved. So when people
say,
"Oh, it's just one abortion," you know, no big deal. No, no, actually, there were several hundred abortions involved, and over the years, we probably could make that several thousand abortions involved. And like we've talked about with embryonic stem cells, they're not having any success with these cell lines. They keep trying. They produce thousands of embryonic stem cell lines that aren't working. And so the same thing happened with aborted fetal. They produced several aborted fetal cell lines until they perfected what they wanted.
And that involved numerous abortions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow. So the difference between the embryonic stem cell, that's what they're using to experiment on to, quote-unquote, cure diseases.
Yeah, what they do is the embryonic stem cells, and this is very easy to separate the two in your mind. So embryonic stem cells come from embryos that are left over from in vitro fertilization clinics.
Okay.
Someone goes in and they store those frozen embryos, right? We hear about that. That's where they're getting the majority, the vast 99.9% of the embryonic cells are coming from that.
Okay.
Whereas aborted fetal is coming from abortion.
Okay. See if I can keep that in my head straight.
Well, that's okay because, Diane, everybody does this.
Yeah.
Everyone calls them embryonic stem cells. And, in fact, to make it even more confusing, there is, for example, there's an aborted fetal cell line, and it's called HEK, which stands for human embryonic kidney.
Uh-huh.
So people say, oh, it's embryonic stem cell. But it's not. It's actually from an aborted baby.
An aborted baby.
That's right. Mm. PERC6 is, they call it embryonic retinal tissue. Okay. It was from an 18-week gestation baby. So it's very misleading.
So it sounds like they're confused, too.
Well, I think they just say, well, it's embryonic because it's I don't know.
From my board of
I don't know
baby.
Why they do it. I think maybe they think it sounds better. You know, people might have greater acceptance in their mind because they think that embryonic stem cells are going to be okay. And
because it's not a real baby. It's not. It's not
that,
a baby. Yeah, I mean that's the thinking. That's the erroneous thinking. So we see we've seen this Planned Parenthood, but they've released now 11 videos now, unfortunately, it seems like there's even less coverage, even with conservative news media, as more videos are being released. Seems like this 11th video was like so, just another video.
I know, and you know, it's a shame because
those
videos have been done, first of all, they've been wonderful for us and in my work at Children of God for Life because they went in, when these videos were released, the first defense they made was that we have to use aborted fetal cells. We have all these vaccines that are made. And so this made major news media outlets, CNN ran an article and talked about how they've been doing this research since, you know, the early 1900s for polio research and abortion. And they're right, but what they did is they just gave us great exposure by doing that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now we just need to. I know that there's still an attempt. I think Congresswoman Marsha Blake, I believe, is heading up a committee to try to defund Planned Parenthood. I believe that's the most
We'd
current.
We'd love to see that. That's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, we look at. I'll probably get it wrong, but when we look at fetal cell lines. I guess it's fetal cell lines. Is that something that, how does it work? Does it keep growing? Does it keep, I mean, they keep this alive somehow, or else it dies.
That's
the cells would die.
That's correct. And in fact, and it's I'm glad you brought that up, because first of all, when they go to, some people also think that when you produce a fetal cell line or you do aborted fetal research that, you know, after the fact you go in and say, well, you know, let's get some good out of this baby.
Mm-hmm.
No. The abortions in the Planned Parenthood videos have been very good about bringing this out. First of all, the organs have to be alive. They can't be dead. Within the first 5 minutes of the death of the baby, the cells will start to deteriorate. So you have to have someone there immediately to preserve.
Mm-hmm.
And they they'll take those, and just like an organ donor, you know, you see they put them on ice and so forth, and they take them into the lab, they start dissecting, they freeze them, they'll cryopreserve them. And the same way they do with embryonic stem cells. They take them and they put them in big tanks, actually, to preserve them. And when they are ready to use them, they take them out, they thaw them, and then they use them again.
I mean, this is the making of a horror movie.
It is.
Just the whole concept that they will take a little baby and dissect this baby. I mean, I just
live.
Can't. Yeah, alive, true.
In
I mean,
many of the cases they did that, absolutely.
Because the cells begin to deteriorate, you said, after five minutes?
That's right, and within an hour they're useless. And so, you know, we have...
So it's premeditated murder,
absolutely.
In my book.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it is. And when you look at how they were doing the abortions and what they were doing, they talk about how the babies were alive. In the polio research, they said in one of the medical journals, the science journals, you know, they said in many times the hearts were still beating at the time they received the babies into the polio research lab.
Doesn't a beating heart mean life? It used to mean life.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a little baby with a beating heart that they're going to dissect live. And experiment on.
Now you guys issued a September 9th news release about China developing a new aborted fetal cell line.
That's right. And this is another important part. What happened in China, and what we found so interesting? One of the things that people have said is that, you know, we've got these great cell lines and, you know, they're going to live forever and they're immortal. And no, they're not. Leonard Hayflick, now when he's the one who actually developed the first cell lines that we use here in the U.S., one of the first things he came out with is they were trying to immortalize them, trying to keep them alive forever if they could. However, they found that all cells, tissues, and organs go through the same aging process that you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually those cell lines will become unstable and unfit for vaccine
research. So they actually age.
That's correct.
Wow.
They do. And what happened with Walvax, this new aborted fetal cell line in China, is China's supply has got to the point where they can't use it anymore. So they decided, instead of using a moral cell line, which they could have done, they decided to go ahead and try to mimic the existing MRC5 and WI38 that are used in all these different vaccines. And so they did. There were 9 abortions involved, and they took the lung tissue of a 3-month gestation baby and to produce their new Walvax cell line.
Wow.
Now, one of the things we found in that in the documents, in the medical journals and in the science publications that were put out and published by the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. too, they talk about how the woman, the one they chose from these nine babies that were aborted, the one they chose, the woman had uterine scarring, which means she had a previous birth. It was from a previous life birth, which means if we go by China's one-child policy, this was probably a forced abortion as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just changed that to a two-child policy, I guess.
Oh, they just did, yes. But
yeah,
abortion
but
was
still,
in 2010.
Well, true, that was still the one-child policy, and really two-child policy just will still mean there'll be forced abortions.
That's right. And it's in a district of China, and I don't ask for pronounce it, starts with Y, Yanu or something, Yanhua, where they actually are strictly enforcing that policy. So, yeah, odds are pretty much that it was a forced abortion.
Oh, yeah. And my understanding is that they actually, manipulated the abortion in such a way that, well, like with the Planned Parenthood videos where they got an intact baby, where the parts weren't crushed.
That's right. They did, and of course this is true for all of these cell lines that they've produced. We know that, because they wanted to be sure that they had intact organs at the time, you know. But they purposely talked about this, and I had never heard of this before, but they called what they did was a water bag abortion. And I looked it up, and I couldn't really find a lot on it. What I did find is that it would be used when you wanted to start labor, to induce labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously so that the woman is going to give birth.
Right.
So, which is exactly what they did. And I talked to a couple of OBGYNs about it, pro-life OBGYNs, and they said, yeah, they were pretty sure that a catheter had been used to induce labor, and that they'd actually just insert water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bring on the,
Right. Wow. So the woman went through labor and delivered
a
baby to be dissected.
That's right.
Wow. Wonder if she signed a consent form.
Actually, they said that she did.
Oh, really?
They said, yeah. Well, I'm sure she did with the threat of if you don't.
Exactly.
We're going to put you in jail.
Yeah.
We're going to fine you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And just as Planned Parenthood supposedly got permission, but yeah, that doesn't change the fact that this is murder.
That's right. And in the early research that was done, there was no permission given at all, and we do know that. They talked about in the polio research that was being done. In the United States in 1922, there was a law that was adopted in 38 of the 50 states, and it was the 32 of the 50 states, and it was the Eugenic Sterilization Act. And this was the Margaret Sanger mindset way back then, where they wanted to force sterilize feeble-minded people, people that were, you had a lot of women that were out. That were pregnant and unmarried women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was horrible. It was this whole eugenics movement that was going on.
Yeah. And looking for the perfect race. I mean, trying to create a perfect.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so what they did, they took these women. A lot of them were pregnant. They forced sterilized and did what's called an abdominal hysterotomy. And what they did is it's like a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
But they will go in and they will sterilize the woman and take the baby intact from her womb, and that baby was what was used in polio research.
Wow!
So these poor women were forced sterilized and forced aborted
and lost their baby.
Yeah.
Is there any ethical? I mean, polio is pretty much eradicated, but is there an ethical vaccine now for that? I mean,
yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
And but they were doing polio was a big deal for decades.
Right.
It was there was a big race for the cure is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using all different types of cell lines. And when I would read these journals where they were doing this aborted fetal research, they talk about using all kinds of moral cells and that were working just as well. So why didn't they just go that route?
I don't know. You're asking us to get into the mind of someone who doesn't see a problem with dissecting a baby. It makes no sense to me.
And what it does is it justifies abortion.
Yeah, it does.
That's what they do. They say, well, we have to.
Yeah, because look at all the medical research that's being done, all the great things that are happening.
We've cured polio. We've,
Yeah. How can folks contact you if they have any questions?
Well, you can go to our, first of all, go to our website because you'll probably find what you need there. But if you, you know, you can always contact us through email. The website is www.cogforlife, that's cogforlife.org.
Okay.
And you can email us through the website or our phone number's there listed as well. So if people have questions, they can call us. And we're very good about getting back to people right away. So.
Yeah, fantastic. So it's cogforlife.org, all spelled out. And I do encourage folks to do that because, you know, your own website definitely explains, even though I can't get through my thick head, the difference between embryonic and fetal stem cells. But you have great information there, and I do encourage folks who are concerned, but to think every American should be concerned about this issue as we see organizations like Planned Parenthood getting away with what they're getting away with.
That's
and
right.
Such as that. So thanks, Debbie, so much for being with us. I really appreciate you guys staying on top of this.
Well, I'm glad to help, and thank you for having me on.
Okay, you take care.
Thanks so much, Diane. God bless.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.